Oh yeah, your boys are live. We are back in action. I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah.
What's good? What's good? Talk to me, brother. Talk to me. What's going on in the world, my boy?
Man, back in the saddle, bro. Last week a lot of things happened.
A lot, yeah.
A lot of good football games happened, you know, from the NFL, also in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have a lot to talk about that.
Yeah.
College basketball is officially, you know, just underway, and they're, you know, going at it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Loving, you know, some of these off season, some of these non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
Looking real good right now. The NBA finally got our first, you know, NBA Cup games.
Yeah,
going on
absolutely.
Now, this
absolutely.
Week. So yeah, it's been more than exciting.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least.
We got good sports, good teams going up against each other. Yeah, I'm excited, man. You know, I love the months of October, November, and December.
Yeah, yes, sir. let's go through some things going on in the NFL right now. So remember how Anthony Richardson got benched?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember.
He's back.
I'm confused.
Me too.
I'm slightly confused. Because it's not like Joe Flacco has been playing all that well.
Right.
You know, in the last two games versus the Bills. And then versus, if I'm not mistaken, the Vikings. You know, he's thrown for two touchdowns and four interceptions. So it's not like he's doing all that well after we were, like, you know, kind of praising Joe and, like, you know, how he can come in and do certain things. But, you know, the Colts, they got to figure it out, number one. But you can tell that they have faith in Anthony Richardson. I think that, like, they know that this is their future.
Yeah.
This is the guy that they should progress, and this is the guy that they need to progress
mm-hmm.
in order to get somewhere. Because, you know, his upside is amazing. His potential is amazing. He just needs more experience under his belt.
Right.
And, you know, he's so young. So putting him in a situation like this, all he can do is learn from it, hopefully. And we'll see where he comes out, how he comes out next game, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't say he's tired. I hope I hope these last two games of being off and not playing has gotten him plenty of rest. You feel me?
Me and you both, bro. Yeah, no, they're on a 3-game losing streak. They're going to be going into New York to face the Jets this weekend. So, yeah, that's going to be something to see. But
two terrible teams, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, no, I'm the same with you. It's more so the confusion side of it. It's, okay, are we still, like, trying to win games to maybe make a playoff run? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But overall, like you said, he needs the experience. Like, he has to be out there. He has to learn. And this is basically the only way to do so. And even their head coach even said that, you know, it's my job to put him in the best position. It's my job to make sure that he can grow and learn as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're doing. Just, I guess you could just chalk this one up to just a lesson. You have to learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to learn lessons at different times and different meanings too.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I'm still, you know, high on him. You know, even though I still think that he probably should have stayed for one more year in college. But mm-hmm. I'm still high on him. Regardless, I still think that he has a lot of potential. It's just a matter of him being able to put it all together and being able to, you know, really understand like what's going on around him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pacheco is off IR, but unlikely to play Sunday. So just the fact that he's close to coming back is really big for that offense.
Very big.
I know Juju should be back as well. You know, along he still have Hopkins, still have Kelsey. So that all of that will be a pretty big. You know, now they have their own little two-headed monster in the backfield with Kareem Hunt and Pacheco when Pacheco comes back. When Pacheco comes back, yeah. So. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what the Chiefs will look like this upcoming week and, you know, the weeks beyond that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Pacheco is, you know, he's a bell cow at the running back position. He fights for his yards, and the fact that you have Kareem Hunt too now,
mm-hmm.
that just, you know, it takes pressure off of Isaiah coming back, number one,
right.
Because he could come back like a little bit slower and, like, you know, really get his footing underneath him again. But you know, we all know how he is. Like, you know, when he's in the lineup, he's gonna eat. So I'm happy that he's coming back though. I'm really happy that he's back, that he's off of IR. He might not be back for this game, but, you know, hopefully next game or the game afterwards,
right.
You know?
Right. They just ramp him up and get him up going.
He runs like he's angry. I love it.
Yes. Yes, he runs like a madman.
Yeah.
The big thing that happened this weekend actually was the Bears lost to the Patriots pretty badly too, 19-3. Williams, Caleb, he was 16 for 30 with just 120 yards in the air. So nothing to show for it. And after the game, Matt Eberflus said that, you know, he's going to do a lot of evaluating. Everybody's, you know, going to be looked at. Mm-hmm. And they fired their offensive coordinator and Shane Waldron. And now the passing game coordinator, Thomas Brown, will take over. And I'm hearing from Adam Schefter and a few others that in the meetings with everybody, there were talks of maybe even benching Caleb Williams too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's very interesting and obviously something to look at, you know, when it comes to the Bears, because they obviously have very big problems with developing quarterbacks, as we can see.
A terrible problem developing quarterbacks. It's just, I don't know, but I kind of also blame Caleb a little bit because it's I think he's trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to scramble or, like, you know, try to be Superman a little too much instead of just, you know, hike, 1, 2, 3, throw that ball. Like, you know.
But also at the same time, that's who he is, though.
It is.
That's, you know what I mean? But also, was Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus or Thomas Brown, was there somebody there that was telling him 1, 2, 3, throw
mm-hmm.
the ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's also another thing. Because, you know, and I think it's, like, also him. Another one of the things that I think that's big that we don't talk about with quarterbacks is that some guys don't trust the offense that they're in.
Don't trust the offense. Maybe him in the offensive line is just not clicking, not communicating.
Oh, you can clearly see that they're not clicking.
Obviously. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what's the problem over there in Chicago.
It's a lot of things to point to. It's a lot of things to point to. Not just, obviously, you know, Caleb, you know, I think he'll be fine. One way or another, you know, like, talent-wise, he's great, but it's just a matter of him getting it down.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, in my opinion, why keep Matt Eberflus?
Because
He didn't show you much when you had Justin Fields. So after everybody said Justin Fields was broken, then mm-hmm. he leads the Steelers to a good six games where he was 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look over and you're like, wait a minute, he's not broken. There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
He looks fine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He has to work on some things, but overall he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see with the Bears are producing less offense than when they had Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
So you come in with a new quarterback and everything, why not come in with a new coach, with a new mindset,
mm-hmm.
with a new plan, with a new scheme? That's my biggest question.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can agree with you on that. You know, I think we should take, you know, a big look at Matt Eberflus and, you know, that just that team as a whole, GM-wise also, just everybody, everybody.
Even owner-wise.
Yes.
We'll go all the way up.
Yes.
We'll go all the way up
to the top. Yeah.
Even owner-wise, you have to start questioning everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lewis Reddick said it the best. He said, you know, a lot of this falls on Waldron right now because he's fired, but if this thing keeps going the way that it's going, everybody
got to go.
Everybody has to get looked at.
Mm-hmm.
From the head coach to the GM to the owner, you know, everybody has to get looked at that's involved in this process.
Mm-hmm.
You already went through two offensive coordinators already. Hey, that's bad.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And now you're not building no culture. You're not building continuity.
Mm-mm.
You're not providing the team as a whole, not just Caleb, but the team as a whole,
right,
with a comfortability, I should say.
Yeah.
And knowing, like, that when you come in, you know what you're working on, you know who it is, and, like, that's just it. Instead of having one scheme from this coach and one scheme, because that was the problem with Justin Fields.
Right.
He had how many new head coaches in his time, in his tenure at Chicago?
It felt like almost every year. It's the same thing with Bryce Young.
Exactly. There's no continuity again, like I said. There's nothing to build
There's
off
nothing,
of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just everybody's putting in their own ideas and confusing you, essentially.
Versus when we look at a Jaden Daniels or a Bo Nix, where you could tell, like, they have only, like, there's only one person that's calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they all got it down packed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has it all down packed. That work fault, you know, like, when it goes to the Commanders, Jaden Daniels knows that it all comes from Clisbury.
Mm-hmm.
No one else.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has control of the offense, but mainly Clisbury. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He obviously has his people talk to him, but at the end of the day, that's the one voice
mm-hmm.
that we're all coming to.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Bo Nix in Denver. It's all Sean Payton. You know what I mean? Like, you see, like, you just see things like, you know, I heard Orlowski say this. Once a quarter, you see Bo Nix just getting it out to Sutton on a go route.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as easy as that. Why can't they do that with Roman Dunsey on the...
Keenan Allen. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why can't you get, you know, DJ Moore coming across on the slant, meeting
mm-hmm.
his man? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's easy things like that. Get Swift out in the open and get and dump him the ball.
There's no need to overcomplicate things. Exactly. But that's why I was saying, like, earlier, like, I kind of blame Caleb a little bit.
Yeah, because I
feel like he's overcomplicating things a little bit too much, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but then also another thing is they have him standing in the pocket too much. Uh-huh. The pocket. You see that he obviously likes to move.
He likes to run, too. So, like, you should make him more of a dual-threat quarterback as well.
Exactly.
Use him how, like, a Lamar Jackson is almost because he has that ability.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
He's a door on the run. He's
exactly.
a great door on the run,
mm-hmm.
I think, in my opinion. So, like, why not use that to his advantage? Whenever he throws on
play
a run,
action,
throws,
something, yeah.
Throws, exactly. He's pretty – he does actually fairly well on the run than he does when you just have him
in the pocket.
There in a three-step, five-step
gotcha.
Drop back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a lot of questions going on over in Chicago.
Oh, I mean, there's been questions going on in Chicago for years. Pretty much. That's what it feels like.
It's like every 4 years at this
Pretty
point,
much.
Right?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, man. Another team I wanted to talk about real quick, the Giants, they end up losing in Germany. Now, Dable.
To the Panthers.
Yes. To the Panthers, everybody. To the Panthers.
The Panthers. I'm pissed. What you got to say about it? Just go ahead. Just go ahead.
Look, bro. Dable did not answer when they asked if Jones will be the starting quarterback. He said that they are evaluating things.
I got a take on that. I do. Hey, keep him playing. Just keep him playing. Don't put Drew Lock in. Drew Lock going to go in there because he auditioning for a contract. You feel me? Don't. No. Drew Lock going to start playing good. And then, no. I want that number one pick. Keep Daniel Jones in there. Sabotage the man. I don't care anymore.
Crazy.
Whatever it takes to get that number one pick. Nope. No. Don't do it. Just keep him in there. Just wait. It'll happen. Just wait. Nope. I'm not doing it. I can't believe Daniel Jones, man. I against the Panthers.
Wow.
You look like you belong in JV against the Panthers. The Panthers is a bye week for most teams.
He threw an interception. He threw both the interceptions. I can't lie. They were kind of like, what in the world? But not one of them. One of them where it went off of a dude's like shoulder or something like that.
Oh.
And it just randomly found the Panthers.
Yeah.
Like, the Panthers like linebacker or whatever. I was like, ooh, only Daniel Jones. That can only happen to one person.
Man, I cannot believe it. And then Joe Shane just looks, I think he looks just, he is in the hot seat right now, genuinely, I think, because of how Saquon's looking over in Philly. Like potentially an MVP candidate right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You lose him to keep this? I can't, man. I can't. I don't know. I don't like it at all.
Man, they could have easily had, like, one of the good quarterbacks in this draft. You know what I mean? They could have went up and got a Bo Nix. They could have got a, you know, Jaden Daniels if he was available or whatever. You know what I mean? Coming in if they didn't re-sign Jones. Now they're going to have to maybe restructure that contract because obviously this upcoming draft, they have to draft a quarterback.
Oh, if you don't draft a quarterback, oh my. No, you have to. Absolutely. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If the Giants don't draft a quarterback, move the whole team out of New Jersey. Just blow the whole team up. Move it out of New Jersey. Just restructure it somewhere else, bro. I'm telling you.
Put them in Germany.
Keep
them in Germany at that point.
Oh, man. But I don't know. I think Brian Dable, I think he might be a little bit on the hot seat too, dude. I really think so.
I'm on the fence with that.
Me too.
Because think about it. Joe Sheen and Dable, they didn't ask for Jones. But also the problem is that they re-signed him.
They re-signed. You kept him.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing that has me on the fence. It's the fact that, you know, on a one side that you could fight for them, it's like, okay, they didn't pick this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's not what they wanted. But then on the other side, it's like, all right, but you guys kept them around
mm-hmm.
instead of making something happen with Barkley,
mm-hmm.
as we all seen.
Who was the workhorse? Like, he's the one that made DJ look good, in my
exactly.
opinion.
Oh,
obviously.
Your opinion is obvious. It's the obvious fact.
Everybody knew that. It's all New York Giants opinions.
He was the leader in both rushing and receiving that year that they got to the playoffs
exactly.
when they lost in the divisional to the Eagles. He was, you know what I mean? He was the guy. So, yeah, that's my only thing. It was like, I like Dable because I think Dable's a great coach.
I love him, too.
I would like for him to get one of these quarterbacks coming in, whether that's Shador, Jalen, Cam, whoever, because I think that, you know, those guys have pretty good potential, to say the least. So I, you know, and Dable has showed that what he could do, especially what, you know, like what he did with Josh Allen.
Exactly.
Like, imagine what he could do with one of these guys.
Now imagine if you got Shador Cam Ward with Malik Nabers now. Too.
Exactly.
You know,
or even or even like a Jalen Mirwell. Exactly. A Jalen Mirwell who I think plays more stylistically like a Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I like, can see. Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Like he's a gamer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would see that, but. Yeah, that's just tough right now. That's a tough scene.
Tough situation over there in the Meadowlands, man. Tough situation. The swamp that is over there.
Yeah. Let's go over some of these games from last week. So obviously we talked about the Giants and Carolina, talked about the Patriots. Buffalo survives in Indianapolis 30-20. Kansas City survives off of a blocked
field goal.
16-14 to keep their undefeated season alive as they go into Buffalo.
Yeah, now that's a game.
That's
gonna
be awesome. Let's see, Pittsburgh won by 1 point over Washington. Some people say it was a bad spot. Some people say it wasn't. Hey, look, we didn't have a definitive down the line look. That's all I can say.
I don't think he crossed it. He didn't cross that line. He didn't cross that.
And then after that, Washington had a chance to get the ball back too. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Jumped off sides.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey.
You know what I mean? Washington had their chances as well, but that overall, that was just a great game to see. The Jets are horrible.
Oh, absolutely. 6-31 against the Cardinals. They lost.
Horrible. Terrible. And the words of Charles Barkley.
6 points.
Terrible in the words of Charles Barkley.
Terrible. They're just terrible, man. Terrible.
And then the nightcap, the game that we even said was going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
The Detroit-Houston game, mm-hmm. that ended up being great.
Yes, absolutely it did.
Despite Jared Goff throwing for 5 interceptions.
5 of them, and still won.
And still won.
And still won.
Yeah, no, there's some things that have to be hashed out over in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Need Nico mm-hmm. back badly.
Yes, yes.
Going into this week, Thursday, we have a thriller. With the Commanders going to see the Eagles.
Great game.
Can't wait for that one.
Great game.
Interested to see what Chicago will look like as they host Green Bay coming in. Can Miami maybe start up a little win streak? They got a couple good games. They got the Raiders this week. I think they got the Patriots next week. Mm-hmm. That Thanksgiving, they have the Packers. So
okay.
They can start up a little win streak, get their confidence going. You never know what could happen, mm-hmm. right? You have the rivalry in Baltimore going to Pittsburgh. Atlanta goes to Denver. That one's going to be a good one. Seattle and San Francisco. That one's always a good one. Mm-hmm. We just talked about Kansas City and Buffalo. Cincinnati and the Chargers. That one's going to be a good one.
That's a good one, too.
That one's
a
make or break for Cincinnati.
Yeah,
Cincinnati
absolutely.
Loses that one, then they're gone.
They're done.
Yeah.
Done.
And then we finish off the week with Houston going to Dallas, which I think Houston should be able to hopefully find themselves and get back on track.
They better.
Nico Collins coming back and everything mm-hmm. like that. So they should be somewhat of full strength, obviously, without Stephon Diggs, but they have. They're still Schultz mixing, so you know they have to get it together mm-hmm. this week,
mm-hmm.
or else, basically, right? So yeah, good week of NFL football coming up,
yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Really excited for that. While we're still here, let's talk a little bit about the NBA. We got our first looks at the NBA Cup, so. Mm-hmm. That was more than exciting to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. Team playing tough, yes, you know, in the first, even the first day of the NBA Cup. Mm-hmm. Yep.
As they should. Orlando goes and kills Charlotte. Let's see. Oh, New York and Philly. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Paul George did his thing. He goes off with 29 points, but then
Joel,
they both end up sitting the next game. That's going to be a problem.
It is.
That's.
But you've seen how Joel got fined. Well, the team got fined because Joel said he wasn't playing back to backs.
Right.
And then he went to the reporters and he basically reneged everything. Yeah. He was just like, oh, you know, I'm a troll, blah, blah, blah. I was like, brother.
You can't do that.
Brother. I was like, the team got on you for saying that. Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Because you don't announce that publicly.
Yeah, that's not something you're supposed to say.
No.
Just not going to play back to backs. Bro, what are we doing?
But with Tyrese Maxey being out right now too, like that's creating a little bit of like, you know, a deficit for them too. Heavy.
McCain is coming in, the rookie. He's mm-hmm. doing his thing. Mm-hmm. He's doing his thing right now. He's holding it down for them. Going into Dallas visited Golden State. That was a fun one.
First time Klay versus Steph.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Everybody wearing captain hat. Yo, they were.
They were going. They were. That was so cool to see.
They were. Yo, when Klay hit that shimmy on that three, I was like, oh yeah, you made Steph mad.
I was like,
you made Steph mad. Mm-hmm. And then last 3 minutes of the game, Steph just comes alive.
He was, what, 4-for-4, 2-for-2 from 3, 12 points?
12 points.
Yeah, no, he went crazy.
He scored the last 12 Golden State points in the last 3 minutes. That's disgusting.
He pulled out the He did exactly what he did at the Olympics.
Exactly. You could tell that he's riding that high right now.
You know
still.
What's funny? I think all of them are.
Absolutely.
Everybody that came back.
Absolutely.
Think about it. AD's going crazy. AD? Going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Bron just crazy. Had a triple-double.
Three triple-doubles in a row.
Bugging. Anthony Edwards, he's shooting threes at an all-time high.
Yo,
he's killing
Anthony
from three.
Edwards is going crazy.
He's
from three.
Killing from
absolutely.
Three right now.
Absolutely.
KD, before he got hurt, was smooth walking everybody right now.
Phoenix was number two
in the
West.
We'll see how much they could keep up with him being out these next couple of weeks. But, yeah, no, that this usually always happens. Everybody, when they come back from the Olympics, they just come back with a different attitude.
Yeah, absolutely, you know what I mean? Except for Joel.
Yeah, well, because they all came back, you know, they've all been playing with and against each other, you know what I mean? Those, you know, those one-on-ones after practice and things of that nature, they turn you into a monster.
5v5, yes, absolutely.
You go through the fire, going through, you know, teams like Serbia and going through France, you know, you know what I mean? You go through that fire, you go through all of that, all that hard work and everything. So when you come back and you... Now everybody can be the star that they want to be. Everybody gonna start showing up, and that's exactly what's going on.
That's exactly what's going on,
and that's the coolest thing ever to me.
It really is. It really is like just amazing to witness, like the fact that, like you said, these dudes who were playing in the Olympics and riding that high, they're here right now in the NBA, still putting on a show. Yes.
Wednesday night we had a crazy night. Crazy night. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes off for 59.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Wembanyama goes off at 50. In the same game, Jordan Poole on the other side goes off for 42. LeBron has a 35-point triple-double. Karl-Anthony Towns goes off for 46 points and a one-point loss to the Chicago Bulls. Tatum goes off for 36 points. I think he had like 10 boards and 9 assists, if I'm not mistaken, too. Mm-hmm. Dudes are scoring, bro.
Scoring.
Yes.
Scoring. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy to see right now. It is. It really is. It's still early in the season. You know, we'll see how, you know, when you know, it gets later on, when we get to, like, you know, those 30 and 40, that 40 game, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how
like, who separates themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. These last few minutes, so let's go into, you already know we're going to. Let's go to college football. So we got another look at the rankings. This week, some things changed. Obviously, some haven't. As we still have Oregon, Ohio State still at 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon being the number one in the bracket still as of right now, as the prediction bracket still. Still have Texas number two, while Ohio State is number five. Like I said before, just because you are ranked number two doesn't mean you will be seeded number two, because it only takes the five highest. Conference winners will be the ones that get the will get the automatic bids.
Yes.
So Texas takes the number two spot, and the number three seed for right now is BYU. Miami's still four, even though they lost to Georgia Tech, and they go down in the rankings to number nine.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia goes down to number 12, but then out of nowhere, they are on the outside looking in now. They're the first team out.
And think about how we were talking about Bama. And then now, like, you know, Georgia is right there now, too.
Yes.
Sitting at 12, outside looking in.
Yes.
Oh, man. Because you got Boise State right behind you, looking good. And we talked about it last week.
Yeah. As long as Boise State, for the most part, as long as Boise State wins out, they should be fine.
Colorado, 17
Colorado,
now.
Yep, Colorado is Colorado at this point, don't even look at your ranking. Just keep winning.
That's
the
it.
Path is there now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else basically... formed a lane for you guys.
They literally
just formed a lane.
You like the fact that Georgia in like you know is number 12 in Alabama 10. Like
oh no,
like,
I'm not even talking about Georgia. I'm talking about in their conference.
In the conference, I'm saying yeah, I agree with you there. I'm just saying like the fact that there's a wide open lane. It feels.
Oh
like,
yeah, no, it's a wide open lane for a lot of them now.
Yes,
for a lot of them now. Yeah. So this is just crazy to see, if I'm being honest, you know. So just to keep going, like you talk about four is Miami, five is Ohio State. Right now, six would be Penn State, seven would be Indiana, eight would be Tennessee, nine would be Notre Dame, so they would be paired up together.
Mm.
Ole Miss would go to Penn State, Bama would end up going to Indiana, Boise State would end up going to Ohio State, as we've seen from last week.
Mm.
So, whew, predictions is crazy.
Yo, yeah, I love this 12-team playoff, man. I love it. It's so many moving parts.
So many scenarios.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Georgia still has, they still have a good, they have a good strength of the schedule, which is still number one. Strength of record is pretty good, too. Think about it. You lose by one score to Alabama. You know, the only other team that you get thrown around by was Ole Miss. Other than that, you go into Texas when they were number one and you beat them.
And you beat them.
You know what I mean? So they beat Clemson, who was number 14 at the time, and they're still ranked. They're still doing their thing. So, you know, they still have something to say. Even if they were to win, or maybe even if they were to lose to Tennessee, they still might have something to say because of how strong their schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, vice versa from a team like Penn State, we can make the argument that Penn
hasn't played nobody.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like their wins, they have wins over like Kent State. Kent State is like 0-9 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Illinois has fallen to the wayside. USC isn't that good. Wisconsin isn't that good. The only team that you had to beat was Ohio State, and you couldn't even do that again. You know what I mean? The last time I think they beat Ohio State was like 2016, 2017, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a while.
Wow.
So, yeah, like it is, I don't know. Like I said, you can make the argument that Penn State could be under a lot of these other teams.
You could make the argument that they could be under Indiana.
Yes.
Even BYU, you can make the argument.
Oh, I think so for sure. Because BYU goes into SMU and beats SMU.
Mm-hmm.
They also beat Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And then Indiana, yeah, Indiana hasn't really played much of anybody either, but they handled their opponents, though, for the most part. You know what I mean? So, and then next weekend they have Ohio State, which is going to be a great game.
That's a telling game.
That's
going to
be
a
great game. I think, you know what I mean? Even if they lose, if they lose, but if they don't lose by a lot, I think that they're still
relatively be in the same, in the same position.
They should still be comfortable because it's going to show that they can still play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, so many moving parts, so many things going on. Not going to go too in-depth with it, obviously, because, you know, we still got a lot more to go. But I feel like I did most of that last week, you know, just explaining what it's going to look like.
You painted the picture. Yes, you did. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, like I said, more than excited to see what we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Army's still undefeated.
Army's
still undefeated. So mm-hmm. that's awesome. That's awesome. We got 2 minutes left. One thing I actually want to talk about, so college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So Auburn, last week, on the way to Houston, a fight broke out on a team plane between Ja'Kai Howard and Jaheim Hudson. They ended up turning a plane around mid-flight, going back to Auburn. They leave those two at Auburn. And then after that, get back on the plane, go to Houston, beat number four-ranked Houston. And then after that, you know what I mean? Like just for all of that to happen is insane to me.
That's absolutely crazy. I agree with you.
For those who probably didn't see it, there's a video of Ja'Kai Howard in their first game against Vermont. One of their teammates, I forgot who it was, but one of the teammates, he was going off from three, feeling it, clearly. Ja'Kai Howard was in the corner, you know, wanting the ball. He didn't get the ball. Then after that, his body language was just turning to sour. It just got bad. You know, it just got worse every time down. And, that right there was a bad look, and it kind of all pointed as to why, like, maybe, okay, this might be the reason why you probably got into that fight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, obviously, Coach Pearl hasn't came out and said anything about it yet, but, yeah, you could kind of almost point the finger to, you are a bad teammate, friend. So.
You don't belong right here, right now. Because your body language, your everything, that how you're acting,
all
of it, don't like it.
Scouts, everybody looks at that stuff.
Exactly.
Especially, you're on the top five team right now. You know, they just got moved up to the top five after the big one over Houston. So,
and shout out to the coach for not putting up with that.
Yo,
not even like turning the plane around.
If you know Coach Pearl, man, if you know Coach Pearl, bro, he's been through it all.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through it all. Shout outs to the freshman Tahai Pettiford from Jersey City. He had himself a coming out party that game. 21.7-12 from the field, 5-8 from three. With 3 assists.
Nice.
Hit some big shots. They were down by 9, I think, early in the second half. And he just started turning it up with him and with Boone and the rest of those guys, man. So Auburn's going to be a team to look out for this year.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. I'll keep my eye on them.
Yeah. There's a few other ones that we're going to get into, but that will be later on. Once, you know, hopefully we can finally get our ducks in a row with football and all that good stuff.
Facts.
But, till then, you already know what time it is. I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
This is Silver Boys.
Thank you.